Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. Today we broadcast almost every day other than when we're at Borgata from the Tasty Cake Studio. Wonderful to be with you here on a Wednesday morning, now 4 days to kick off for a big old game. And Sirianni and Hertz and the crew that's been here for the number of years now have a shot for their fourth playoff win together. Of course, guys like Lane Johnson and others have had more, you know, going back to the Doug Peterson years. Let's get to a name, because with this name, you can win tickets for this game. Eagles-Rams on Friday, and we're going to give you a name right now. Know this name to win the tickets on Friday.
And the name is...
The name is whoever Ross Tucker's favorite Eagle of all time is.
Ooh.
Really loving this outsourcing thing.
I do. Yeah, take something off my plate.
Do like, I have to say what it is, or does everybody already know
point.
Who
no,
it
no,
is?
No, no, no.
Well, that would read your mind.
This is like when Michael Jordan passes the ball to John Paxson. You know, like...
Oh, that one
can
time?
We guess?
Hey,
that one time?
Hey, Pack, hit the shot button.
All right, all right. Okay, let's play a game, though, first, real quick.
All right.
Everybody gets to guess who my favorite all-time Eagle is.
Randall.
Keep
Runyon.
Guessing.
John Runyon.
Ooh, I like that one, no.
Keith Jackson.
It's going to be late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, definitely.
No. Keith Byers.
Ooh, I like that one too, but no.
Seth Joyner.
Love that one. No.
James, you're the only one left.
I will go with, I don't know, Mike Golic.
No, but close, like Jerome Brown or Clyde Simmons or Reggie White would have been, but it's Randall. Joe got it right. It's Randall.
So you're a smart man. That's my favorite player.
I mean, come on.
Randall.
I mean, listen, the first game I ever went to, I tell a story all the time. My dad takes me, it's 85. I'm in the 700 level at the vet. Jaws is the quarterback. They only bring in Randall if it's third and 10 or more. I mean, think about that.
Yeah. Insane.
A rookie quarterback. And by the way, we all go absolutely crazy when they bring out Randall. And he either ran for a first down, threw for a first down, got sacked, or threw an interception. Those are the only four categories.
I remember.
Every time. It was the greatest thing of all time.
Now, look, Randall, you know, Dominique Wilkins, human highlight film, but so was Randall. I mean, he's my second favorite Eagle of all time. All right, know the name.
Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite?
Seth is my favorite.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, Seth is number one for me, and Randall's two. All right, know the name Randall Cunningham, and with that name and the others that will be said tomorrow and Friday, and what was said yesterday at 8, know the time, at 8 o'clock, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we give you the names. And with those names, you can win the tickets Friday at 8 to the Eagles and the Rams.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, let's go to Mark right now, calling from Delaware. Mark, what's going on, bud?
Hey, good morning, team. So I got 3 points I wanted to talk about. The first one, I just want to make a point because you guys have already spent too much time. We used to have season tickets for the 76ers. Up until about 2 or 3 years ago, and I don't think I've watched 5 minutes of the season this year. I'm just so, you know, disappointed in it. So anyway, and then just quick question for Big Ben. Ben, I know last week you had made a revelation on the studio or in the studio, and I met you before when I was in the studio before with my friend, and seemed like a nice, good, you know, real nice guy. But why don't you like the name Mark?
Oh,
I like this. A Mark questioning a Mark.
It's not that I don't like the name Mark. It's just I don't
consider myself a Mark.
Your parents didn't call you that, right?
But they never called me that.
But your name is Mark.
Like, you are definitively a Mark.
Mark Christopher Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah, is my name.
Astonishing.
I don't associate myself.
It is astonishing.
I don't associate myself with the name.
No, I
guess. How does Mark Christopher Davis turn into Ben?
Mama wanted to name me Mark Christopher. Dad wanted to name me Ben. But Mama didn't want people to call me Benji or Benny. So my dad's like, fine, name him Mark Christopher.
Does Mark Davis's appearance bother you?
No.
Really?
Oh, man.
You could never have hair like
I'd have
Ben.
A different answer.
Was your mom disappointed that it became Ben and she didn't get everyone call you Mark?
No, she never did. And again, if I were, you know, if my back was turned towards you and you said, hey, Mark, I would not even turn around.
Sure.
I would not
so
even
wild.
Turn around.
But it would start changing.
It wouldn't even think.
Because people might start.
Marky Mark.
I still won't turn
around. Listen, I would not tell this to Croc because he'll needle you.
Yeah.
He'll find a way, man.
It does feel like Mark. You do look kind of Marky.
Yeah.
I mean, for real, you... Mark is a solid name. It's a strong
when
name.
When it's with a K.
You guys want to hear something crazy?
Yeah, not with a C.
Oh, Joe, so now this crazy? Is against Mark in Delaware because you can see that his name is spelled with a C?
If that's properly spelled,
we don't ever know. People just put him in. We don't ask.
John,
like, is it a C or a K?
I gotta agree. It's a strong name.
It is. It's very strong.
All right,
you
Mark,
got a good one.
Mark, give me a quick Eagles point, bud. What do you got?
So I agree with what John Ritchie's saying. I think the Rams are, you know, I just think they're going to be tired, you know, both physically and just, you know, mentally exhausted from the last couple of weeks out in Los Angeles and travel and everything. So
That happens sometimes. I think it happened to the Eagles in the desert in 08 versus Arizona in the AFC title game, in the NFC title game. I thought it was part of why the Eagles were so lame in the first half. I think it happens sometimes.
It's a thing.
Mark, give me an iconic photograph.
I'm going to go with when JFK Jr. saluted his dad's casket.
Oh, man, that one could win, too.
That's a great answer.
That's a big one. Really is. Ross, what were you going to say there?
Do you remember Mark Davis, the pitcher?
Of course, Cy Young winner.
Okay, yep. He married a girl from Reading. And he came when I was like 12. The year he won the Cy Young.
89, I think, right?
Yeah, I was 10 years old. He came to the mall in Reading, and I got his autograph, Mark Davis.
There you go.
So isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the greatest story.
No, I was expecting a better story.
By the way, real quick, you guys were talking about this earlier. Yeah. How does Richard shorten to Dick
while we're talking about this? This has been covered. So we actually found the answer 2 years ago. It went from Richard to Rick. Rick to Dick.
How does it go from Rick to Dick?
I like how much you enunciated that there. That was...
Oh, no, I said Rick very clearly.
But how does it go from Rick to Dick, and who says I'm Richard or I'm Rick, but I want people to call me Dick?
Yeah.
That's a drop right
clearly,
there.
Yeah, that part we never really kind of got to.
Like, yeah.
I have an Uncle
the,
Dick.
The social lexicon, like the...
Yeah, we are children. All right, Devin, have you ever met anyone your age or younger?
Yeah,
that is named Dick.
No, I have not.
I do know Rick. I know a lot of Ricks.
I know a lot of Ricks. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I don't even know Ricks. I know Rich. Like they go by Rich.
I don't know anyone under 50 that's named Dick.
I don't know. I'm 43. I don't know anyone my age.
Will goes by Richard. Will only goes by Richard.
Because they're all Vermeil and Vitale.
Will it ever come back?
Yeah. I don't think it'll ever come back.
Really?
I really don't. No. Mm-hmm. It's too far gone. We can't even have a conversation on the radio about it without giggling like children.
It really is outrageous.
When you really dig in, it means that the off-color definition of the name that we're talking about must have occurred.
So you couldn't even say it.
Yeah, we're going too far. I mean, because now I'm going to make...
This is a deep dive.
Well, now I'm going to make an Arcadia comment. I mean, how was it called Beaver College for years?
It's wild that it was called Beaver College.
I mean, was there a Dick that went to Beaver College?
God, it's called Beaver Stadium.
I'm just asking. Let's go to the phones.
You are teetering on the edge, my friend.
Let's go to the phones.
And we're done.
Hey, Tom, bail me out. Tom in Dover. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Joe DeCamera. I haven't spoken to you all year. Happy New Year.
Tom, You know, I got nothing but love for you. Happy New Year, pal.
That's not true. You haven't answered one text in months.
Well,
get him, Tom. Get him. Who always answers your text, Tom? Does your guy here, Tom, always answer your text?
When's the last time you texted me? You didn't text me in a long time. I text you.
What? Actually, Andy, when Seth Jordan was reaming you out and Rio was taking up for you.
A couple days ago. All right. Well, that's my fault. That's my fault. That's my fault then. I haven't seen it to
You're
be
ghosting,
get,
Tom.
So here's the complication. It's a second phone.
You have a second phone.
I have a second
phone.
He's
got his burner phone.
You have a burner phone.
I have a burner.
Oh, my God.
And I need to turn that one on more often.
What are you doing, man?
It's a second phone.
You're saying you intentionally give out your burner phone number to certain people?
Hold on. Why
Correct.
Do you have a burner phone?
How does Amy in Villanova feel about that?
No, it's not that.
What made you do this?
When we switched from the midday to the morning, I wanted to contact all of our listeners.
Big time, so you had to...
Well, I contacted about 100 people to thank them for listening to our show and encourage him to call and all that to the new show in the morning. But I did not feel giving out the regular number would be like
appropriate
in my best interest.
Sure.
Because there could be one wackadoo out there. And so then Tom, I'm not saying you're that wackadoo, and no one's been a wackadoo, but you never know. And so I got a second phone line, and I pay a couple bucks a month, and I maintain a second line. I just got to turn that phone on.
So it's not even a burner. You have like an actual...
Oh, I got a phone.
Oh, okay. So that's different than a burner.
Yeah, I use the term burner as a joke.
I get it. Yeah, I thought you actually had a burner.
But Tom, I just got to turn that phone on a little more, and I'm sorry I haven't. I really am.
Well, kind of is a burner.
It's kind of a burner.
Not technically, but yes.
I mean, that's kind of big time. You kind of big timed.
I mean, you know, it's...
In a nice way. I mean, like...
I was trying to be a nice guy.
It's really nice to call the people and thank them for calling the show. Yeah. It was
but
nice.
But you big-timed.
And I don't...
By being unbig-timed.
A little. And then two
the
phones...
The irony.
Two phones in the pockets a lot. And,
it
you know,
is.
I don't want two phones in the pocket.
Highfalutin to camera.
Hey, listen, y'all.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I believe we're going to beat you guys, but we can't take them lightly, man. Really, we can't.
Well, I don't think the Eagles players will. Here's the good news, Tom. Even if we...
Players and coaches will not.
As fans do and will, and many, many probably are, the players won't. You don't have to worry about that. Dude, they're so locked in. I'm not saying they can't lose. They could. But they're not going to lose because they don't show up. They're not going to lose because they're thinking about Detroit.
All right, well, that's a good...
Sirianni and Hurts have them locked in mentally in that regard. That hasn't been an issue. You know, Ross, you talked about the buddy years. That was an issue in the buddy years. That hasn't been an issue.
I will say I don't like the approach that we are all taking right now. It makes me very, very nervous.
I think they're going to win by 2 touchdowns, Russ. How's that make you feel?
But this is a divisional round NFL playoff game. The Rams just beat a 14-win team Vikings at a neutral site where there was more than half Vikings fans. They just beat them 27-9. It wasn't even that close. I don't like our attitude. You guys are making me nervous.
The team is taking exactly the same approach that they took prior to whooping our opponent last week and the week before.
Eagles and Lions play in 11
days. I would not say the Eagles whoop the Packers.
If the Commanders beat the Lions, don't forget. If the Lions beat the Commanders,
all right,
we'll see about that.
Tom, give me an iconic photograph. You can win the Metallica tickets.
Hey, listen, I think this is the best one, man. The Michael Jordan and this photo.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. That's good. He did have his foot severely on the line, but flying through the air was something.
It wasn't on the line. It was way past it.
It really was.
He was a foot and a half past the free throw.
Yeah, line. I don't know why people gave him from the free throw credit when it wasn't.
No.
But it is a great photo.
He could have dunked it from the free throw line.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know.
I guess we won't know.
215-592-9494. Coming up, Kellen Moore talked yesterday about the possibility of him taking over the Dallas Cowboys. He's a candidate to be their coach. What Lou Riddick said about Deion and the Cowboys. What Nick Nurse said about the Sixers last night, sitting just about
Does
everybody.
Does he like being called Lou Riddick?
I don't know. Ask him. Yours.
The Jack Fritzer suggesting.
What
it.
Is it?
I got two phones. It's about having two phones. Two
That's
phones.
Awesome, James.
Shout out to Jack. Fritz.
I'm guessing this guy's a dirty dog, this guy,
yeah,
right?
I think it's for a different reason,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and a different category. All right, we got Ben, we got Devin, we got Rhea, we got Seltzer, we got Ross, Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. Wonderful to be with you. Mike Quick coming up in about 20 minutes. All right, let's get to the Kellen Moore thing. So I'm not worried about this in the short term, because I think what happened a couple years ago with...
Gannon.
Yeah, I think that is.
I'll never forget or forgive.
Yeah, it's unique, and it was disgracefully handled by him. I mean, it really does seem that he was distracted in the lead up to the Super Bowl, and then not flying back with the team. Like,
well, they got and getting into and then on top of that, he got his pants coached off in the Super Bowl.
He did.
So it's like.
In the second half, not in the first, but
regardless,
second half.
Who knows? The point is, who knows?
I agree.
And cost us Fangio last season.
Because
That's
of
true
how late
too, because
left?
Of how late. Yeah, Vangio wanted to come here, but went to Miami because Gannon wasn't leaving, we thought.
Right.
Let me just add that to the mix.
Well, Gannon may not have known he was getting the job. I mean, the Eagles played until February, which complicates it. But anyway, it was poorly handled. So here we are again in a situation, Eagles in the playoffs, and one of their coordinators is, I don't know if coveted is the right term, but he is of interest for the Dallas Cowboys. Let's listen to Kellen Moore and how he handled it yesterday.
Your name is being linked to the Cowboys job. How did it end there from your perspective, and is that a job that would interest you?
I mean, obviously I spent a lot of time there, 8 years there, and so obviously have plenty of relationships about that place. And so, I love it here. I've had so much fun here. It's been a really fun process, and we're in a really special situation right now, getting the chance to play this Sunday, have a chance to make a run at this thing, and that's really all you worry about. Everything else is what it is, and we'll see where it takes you.
It's pretty well handled. I can't imagine it's the only thing you truly, quote, worry about, because if you know you have a chance to make 3 to 4 times more money and be
we're
the head
human
coach,
beings, right?
Yeah, there's no way it's not on your mind. No
like, even
much.
If you try and focus on what you're, like, it's going to be there. It's you've said it before. It's the biggest job interview of your life.
Yeah, I mean, go double, triple, quadruple your earnings.
And what, you're not going to go in knowing something about that team, paying attention to what they do, all that type of stuff.
But the good news is he said the right things and hopefully is handling it like more of an adult than Jonathan Gannon did. So take it for what it's worth. Ross, is Deion going to be the head coach of the Cowboys?
I don't think so, but that would be a very, very, very Cowboys move. I don't know when the transition fully took place, but when I watch the Cowboys now, every aspect of the way they run their operation, two things jump out. One is, I think, and this is a longer conversation, but I think we're at the stage, like, it makes me nervous when Jerry Jones talks to the media.
Wow, you think it's gotten that bad? Wow.
Well, he's 80-something.
Wasn't he pulling back for a while, Ross?
I don't know, but he said a bunch of things this year that were like, whoa. Like, he told the radio hosts that he's going to get him fired. Yeah. Like, he's at that age, like, where, let's put it this way, he's at the age where I sure as heck wouldn't have wanted my pop-up to be talking to anybody publicly. You know what I mean? Like, you get that age where it's like, whoa, pop-up. You're not allowed to say that.
The organization was well aware of that, and they had been sort of...
No, he runs the show.
Other people were making decisions.
No, I don't think so.
Well, Ross,
I don't think so. And then the other part of it, Joe, which is really important, I think that at some point, I don't want to say they gave up, but at some point they decided it's really, really hard to win the Super Bowl. There's a lot of things you can't control. When I watch them, it's like their moves are to maximize attention, to maximize publicity, and to maximize revenue. And on some level, they've always been that way, always been good publicity, any publicity. But it's gotten to the point now where it's like absurd.
Yeah.
Like Mike McCarthy, they're not even able to interview like Aaron Glenn or you know, Ben Johnson from the Lions, because you can only interview if they have a bye. You have to interview them that first week. So they missed out on that to have McCarthy. They tried to bring McCarthy back. They're denying it now. They wanted McCarthy back, but they only wanted to give him like a 1 or 2 year deal. Hmm. He said, go whatever yourself. So now they're going to talk to Deion, and everything they do is about maximizing and milking the attention, the conversation, because what they recognized is they can control being the number one revenue team, being the number one most valuable team. And I personally believe that that is clearly their priority over winning.
Well, I totally agree, Ross. Sorry, just really quick. Shannon Sharp made a good point yesterday. He said he doesn't see Jerry Jones hiring a head coach who would get more attention than him.
Well, good for the Eagles. I mean, this whole conversation.
There's also stuff with like their trust, the way they do their money. Shil Kapadia has talked about this before, where it, like what Ross is talking about, actually bears out in the financials of what they do. It's why they don't. Yeah. It's why they wait on Dak and they don't sign guys early and they don't spend money. Okay. Is because it's all part of this portfolio. The Cowboys are part of this Jones portfolio that they're just trying to make worth more money.
And well, Joe, you know. The lunch story, right?
Oh, this is the best.
I don't think I do.
You don't know this? Rhea knows this.
No, I do. It's great.
So I played for 5 teams, okay? And I'm playing for Washington. I get cut by Washington. I get picked up the next day on waivers by the Cowboys. Yep. So I go down there. And a couple weeks later, I get my first paycheck, which, by the way, was more money because there's no state income tax in Texas. I was like, wow, okay, getting fired is not that bad. I'm getting more money. There's a deduction. It says $150. And I forget how they phrased it, right? So I go to the finance guy, and I'm like, what's this $150? And he says, that's for lunch.
That's wild.
I said, I played for 5. I said, that's for lunch? He said, yeah, but your check's $18,000 or whatever it was. Like, you can't even notice it. I'm like, no. I'm 23 years old. I'm from Reading. That's 7 cases of Yingling. $150 is 7 cases of Yingling. And they were... They were telling me it was garbage, like fried chicken, mashed potatoes. I said, so let me get this straight. If I pack a turkey sandwich and bring it in, will I get my $150 back? The guy had no idea. I think I was the first player that ever noticed it. And it says something. The Dallas Cowboys charged, maybe not anymore, but in 2002, 2003, charged their players for lunch.
That's wild. Really is. All right, Ross, Eagles, Rams. Let's drill down here in our final few minutes with you. Just let's rapid fire through a couple quick things. Jake Elliott, how concerned are you?
Decently concerned. I'm really glad he made those 3 field goals that he made last week. That was huge. I'm glad they were as close as they were. But yeah, in a close game, how can you not be concerned? And I do think that it's very much in Sirianni, the back of Sirianni's mind.
Yep.
When they're in the 33-yard line. I mean, I watched him in pregame warmups because I called that game with Tom McCarthy. He was bad in pregame warmup. I mean, every time I wasn't watching every kick, but every time I looked over at Jake, he missed it. He missed the kick in pregame warmups. I was very concerned.
Wow. All right. A couple quick.
That's awful.
That is awful.
That really makes me feel bad.
And we haven't heard that yet. That's interesting.
If he's missing practice kicks, that's even worse than I expected.
I mean, I'm sure he made some. Yeah, I'm sure he made some, but I can say for a fact, I'm talking to Packers coaches. Yeah. I said hi to Brady. Like every time I looked over at Jake, at least 3, maybe 4 times when I watched him kick, he missed that kick.
That's very unusual.
And I don't remember him making one.
Don't you agree that that's unusual?
Very unusual, very concerning.
Right. During warmups, you expect to see those guys, and in practice, they're making it every time. If they miss it, it is so wildly off
which is why I was so happy, and it's so big that he made all those during the game. I know there was the extra point, but he made them during the game.
If he's missing,
he's got to be decently confident if he made all 3 kicks in the actual game counts.
But not the extra point.
Right.
Which is 33 yards?
33.
I mean, come on.
So the question is, where on the field does Sirianni say, no brainer, it's I'm good with Jake? I think it's 40 and in, maybe 45 and in.
Until he misses the extra
points. The problem is, we used to feel like 58 and in was almost a lock.
I know.
That's a big difference.
It's a real problem. And they're sticking with him, but it's a real problem.
Which they should.
Which they should, but you watch.
There's no telling.
You watch all
no
these kickers around the league.
Somebody else in, that would
dude,
be better.
Dude, all these kickers around the league hit 50, 52, 53. Like, no problem.
I'm aware.
Like, it
and
feels
I'm jealous.
I am too.
And
I watch
feel
this game.
We could have had that if we would have just in the middle of November
McManus.
Said, hey, let's give you some competition. You're not doing your job the way we want you to. Let's spur a little competition. Bring in a big leg.
They're playing with fire. They are.
It's which they did with the punter McManus in 2022. Remember that? We talked about the punter. The punter. Oh, yeah, he's like, could we get a better punter in here? And it cost them in the freaking Super Bowl.
I do remember. That's a good point, champs.
But McManus had made 15 in a row for the Packers, and then he misses a chip shot like early in the like. You don't totally know with these guys.
All right, Ross, Eagles winning Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I do think it will be competitive. I think the betting line is probably about right. Last time I looked, it was 6 points.
It's up to 6.5 now.
Yeah, I'm feeling like 23-17. However, because of how good the Rams looked Monday night. However, if Hurts plays well, and with everything we know going on with the Rams, short week, cold weather, I would not be surprised if the Eagles pulled away. I think, again, second week in a row, I think the start really, really matters. If they can jump on the Rams early, that it could be a long day for the Rams.
And Ross, final thing, because you know, three of these four games, pretty much everyone in America is picking a certain team. But the one game that's a toss-up is Buffalo and Baltimore. Who the heck wins that game?
Whew. Maybe the best divisional round matchup I can remember in a long, long time.
I agree. I agree with that.
I think the Ravens are the better team. And I can see why they're favored. I think it's really tough to go into Buffalo and win. I don't think Zay Flowers plays. I think Josh Allen, Superman. I think the Bills win 28-27, 27-24. Something incredible, although there is a chance the Ravens could just run them over. But I'm going to go with the Bills in a home game. It's just crazy because I go on in both those markets, and they've had really good seasons. If they lose, it's a disappointing year. If they lose, it's here we go again. We can't get it done in the playoffs. I mean, the stakes are gigantic. And what's crazy to me about Joe, whoever wins that, it's going to take so much out of them that it's really hard for me to imagine them going to Kansas City the next week and winning.
Yep.
Kansas City playing a day before against a much easier team,
it's
too.
It's wild. Look, the NFL is giving honor to the one seed, and there's something to be said for that, you know? Detroit's also going to have an extra day against the Eagles, assuming the two teams play. Hey, Ross, stay well, bud. Enjoy the games this week, and we shall talk to you next week. Thanks, Ross.
Can't wait. See you guys.
All right, to the phones we go. Mike Quick joins us in a few minutes. Let's get to Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Morning, team. Good morning, Ben.
What's up, Ed?
Good morning.
So I just wanted to cook a bit on the Sixers. I think I'm beyond anger at this point. It's not even acceptance. It's just indifference, just such a depressed kind of mindset with this team.
Yeah, I know.
And then I start to think about, I reflect, and I think about, you know, AI and the 2001 playoffs. I think about when my dad took me to my first birthday party with my buddies in 91, where the Sixers beat the Spurs 108-101, and Hersey Hawkins had 30 points. And those are the fond memories. Then I get angry because those are my fond memories of the Sixers, and they're freaking gone, and I'm so pissed off.
Look, I agree with you. Ed, here's where I'm at. I vacillate between disinterest, anger, and frustration. But frustration is a small part of it now. Frustration was like a year or two ago when players wouldn't play. Now I'm like,
I resent.
And resentment.
I'm resentful.
That's a good word.
Disinterest and resentment.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm like full disinterest right now. Like, I have very little, like, interest in NBA games today.
Yeah.
And it's like I want them to hurt for what they've done to me somehow.
I'm with you.
You know, like,
I'm with you.
It really
does feel
personal.
At what point do we accept this? Can we ever accept it?
No,
I don't think so. This is where we're at. This is the product. That's why
I feel like we have to take a stand. Like, this cannot be allowed.
I know.
So somehow,
I know.
How do I make that point known to make an impact.
I feel like when this Eagles season is over, we as a show, a station, and probably a town in February and March, depends if the Eagles win at all and we're in celebration mode or not, but there will be a point where we will make a big point of emphasis to try to figure out what we can do to spur action. And I don't know what that is yet.
You know that expression, to those that much is given, much is expected?
Yeah.
Like, these guys have been given so many talents. They're so good.
I know.
They're so talented. They're so athletic. They're really good at their craft.
They're incredible. They shoot better than ever.
Like you said, they don't play.
They don't play. But I also put it more, like, I'm with you. I'm very anti-players choosing not to play. But
they've established
the organizations allow it.
The organization allowed Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons to call the shots from day one.
Yeah.
So none of this should be surprising.
But that also goes on all the teams.
Yeah, that's the league.
That's the league.
And I don't know how they can fix it. I mean, look at Jimmy Butler. I love Jimmy Butler as a player. Mm-hmm. Even him in Miami right now.
Right.
It's the fact that he can demand out. Yes.
And by
say
the way,
specifically where he wants to go and where he doesn't want to go. It's crazy.
And he's about to come back, and they don't know. I mean, they may have some idea, but we don't know. Are they about to trade him, play him, sit him, or suspend him again?
Like, well, and the thing is Pat Riley seems to be the only guy in the NBA who's willing to stand up to these guys.
Mm-hmm. I know. But even Riley has so little leverage.
He has no leverage. Yeah.
He has no leverage.
Jimmy cannot play. Like, whatever these guys want to do is accepted, and it's not like there's no punishment. There's no nothing.
The commissioner and the owners. Like, let me put it this way. If we can create a country and have a constitution that covers everything from the post office to taxes to spending and budget, like if we can have that, the NBA can figure it out.
But it also has to be the players. I mean, I know excuse it. I mean, you have, is it Malik Bridges, right, with the Knicks?
Mikal
Bridges. When was the last time he missed a game?
He plays.
I mean, there, you know, it's got to be inside you. Too.
I agree.
You know, and Joel's never wanted to rehab properly. Ben didn't want to come back and play after his first year because he wanted to protect himself. And they allow it.
Is Tyrese Maxey being negatively affected? Is his outlook on the world becoming jaded?
I don't know.
Seriously, Embiid-like?
I haven't heard him say anything yet that indicates that, but I've wondered and
once
worried.
Once upon a time, I just could never have imagined that he, always upbeat and smiling, would be in any way like in that same bracket of guys who would sit out and you know,
well,
he
is legitimately, I think, banged up.
He does not fall in that category. If he's around this, you know, Paul George, Joel Embiid, these big name guys, he's looking up to them.
But I don't know.
Try to understand exactly how to be a pro.
With what Devin said, you know, because you remember Doc Rivers said they used to have to throw him out of the gym.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to force him to not work out.
Yeah.
So
I actually believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe that he's actually hurt.
Yeah.
All right, Ed, I need an answer here because we're going to get to Mike quick. What is the most iconic photograph of all time?
I got to say, Chuck Bednarik standing over Frank Gifford after he broke his soul in that 1960 game.
Awesome.
Ed, you got it, man.
Broke his soul.
Bednarik.
I love that.
And knocked Gifford out for 2 years, which is really incredible. All right, let me tell you that Twitter poll question of the day. It relates to the Sixers and what we were just talking about. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question, is your disgust with the Sixers at an all-time high, yes or no? I really will be fascinated to see where the results of this poll go today. And I'll say this, if it's a lot of yeses, that's really bad for the Sixers, and they better listen, and they better act, and they better act differently. With that said, let's talk some football with Mr. Mike Quick.
Mike Quick, sponsored by the BetParks app. New users get up to $1,000 in casino bonus back. BetParks.com for the details. You must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So, Mike's got a big old game to announce on Sunday. If he was an NBA player, he'd be like, I'll tell you what, I'll sit this one out.
I'll get the next one.
I'll get the next game. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning, team. How are you?
How are you, pal? Mike, you're really excited, man. I mean, this thing is, look, the ultimate dream was achieved 7 years ago when the team won its first title.
Yes.
But they really are getting in striking distance. They really are now getting close to a second championship. And I know we're going to focus a lot on the Rams right now and the Eagles in this game. But, I mean, it's getting real, man. There really could be a parade coming up in about 4 weeks.
Yeah, isn't this fun? I just don't think that there's a better time of year than right now when you're in the postseason and you really have a legitimate chance of hoisting that trophy once again. And it's legit. I mean, this is not like like some years, you know, you get to the postseason, but you know you're not really qualified to go the distance.
Yep.
Well, we know that this team is qualified to go the distance.
I agree with you. Mike, the way the Rams played against Minnesota, did it create some worry for you more than you would have expected?
Not at all. No, not at all. I respect the Rams, but when I look at their run game, I just don't think that there's enough with Kyren Williams and the way they run the ball. Of course, they have a quarterback that's a savvy veteran that's been around a long time, and he gets the ball out and all of those things that you want to see your quarterback do. But I just still don't think that there's enough there. I know Puka Nacua is a fabulous player. They've got other guys that can get it done, but when I look at the roster of the Eagles and the way that they match up, I just think that it's a good matchup for them. And I was thinking Minnesota would be the right team for them to play in this round. But after really looking at the Rams, I'm glad that they're playing the Rams, and I think we're going to be in good shape on Sunday.
Mike, do we have a predictability problem offensively with the routes being, you know, predictable? The Packers were able to cover us. There was some talk, about the receivers not getting open enough in that game against the Packers. What did you make of that, being a guy who got open a heck of a lot?
Well, John, it could be that some of the routes, some of the concepts are predictable. The whole league, they run all of the same stuff.
Right.
But when you put man on man, and the big deal with this team is, heck, they're going to run the ball 35, 40 times, and they're not going to throw that much. And because they're so strong at running the ball, that's going to be the factor that makes the difference in the game. The fact that the Eagles' offensive line, the Eagles' run game in particular, can dominate football games.
Mm-hmm. And then that happens, but it's almost like our quarterback gets the blame, even when the offense works well in the running attack. And as if it's too run heavy, which once upon a time was my greatest wish that this offense would be run heavy. Now, when it is run heavy, the complaint arises, our quarterback's not doing a good enough job. How is the job that Jalen's doing, as you see it?
He's getting the job done. It's as simple as that. Yeah, okay, it's not perfect. Yeah, we want to see him play a perfect game. We want to see him throw it better. We want to see more passing. But then when you get more passing and you don't win, then what's going to be the complaint then?
Yeah.
So the bottom line is figure out a way to advance to the next week. I don't care how they beat the Rams. I want them to figure out a way to advance to the next week. Doesn't matter to me if he throws the ball 10 times. I want to see them figure out a way to, at the end of the game, win the game, advance to the next week.
And they feel really confident they'll do that.
And they probably will. Mike, what worries you more? I'm going to give you two things that have come up quite a bit this week on our show. Which worries you more? Yep. Jake Elliott kicking or no Nakobe Dean?
Whoa. I would say Jake. I just want to see a more consistent Jake, and we know that it's there. But you can't go away from it, because at some point you're going to need Jake. You're going to need him to hit a big kick. And as dicey as that might feel right now, I would have to put my confidence in Jake and put him out there whenever he needs to, and whenever the team needs him to make a big kick. I would count on Jake.
How good?
Go ahead. But Nakobe not being there, that bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
It does.
Oren Burks and Trott Jr., how good are they in coverage? you know, again, I know N'Kobe was great in that part, and his understanding, his leadership. Can they cut the mustard in terms of just that coverage was so incredible? It was the best coverage in the league, in large part because he was so good in coverage.
Well, he's so instinctive. That's the thing about N'Kobe. He's not fast, but he can understand what's happening before it happens many times and dissect it. And so he gets a step on you, or he gets a half step on you. Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah.
He's not a fast guy, and that's not his thing, his ability to cover. But the way he gets downhill, the way he communicates, I think the big thing is N'Kobe running the defense as the quarterback of the defense. He's the guy that's communicating with the coaches. He's got the dot on his hat.
Yeah.
And that portion I worry about a little bit, because N'Kobe made sure that the guys in the front and the guys in behind, that everyone knows what's going on. Everything's communicated really well. So that communications piece is a really big piece, and I'm a little bit concerned about that part.
Yeah, I think that's fair. John, can that affect Zach Bond now having to do it, that it slows him down once the play starts because he's more mentally...
He's got to do more.
You know,
he's got to do a different role than what he's accustomed to. So, yeah, it could be something that derails him to some degree,
right.
But he's been so consistent. Yeah. I don't expect it's going to be a major problem.
And he did it this year.
I do think there's a major drop-off, though, from N'Kobe in coverage to Oren Burks or Trott Jr. I think the mistakes that those linebackers can make, I mean, that's glaring. If those guys make a mistake, man, that breaks everything down. 11 guys can be wrong if one guy is doing the wrong thing and he's in the wrong place. And I think Sean McVay is a great play caller and a great offensive coach to where he can try to maximize that and take advantage. Mike, how good is McVay?
He's one of the best. I'm glad you brought that up, because Sean McVay is among the top people in this league, and understanding what you're going to do defensively and have an attack plan for it. And by the way, on the fly, he can change up, and you have to try and figure out how to keep up with him, because he's constantly tweaking what they do, adding little wrinkles to what they do. And if you're not really sharp and on your game, there's a chance that Sean McVay will find a way to puncture your defense, because he's really, really good at it.
Yeah. Mike, let's talk about A.J. Brown for a moment here. So, obviously, he can just crush a defense, and he's one of the best players on the Eagles, one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
If you were – well, you were. I mean, you guys were comparable levels. I don't know who's better, but it's a compliment to both.
He's better, but go ahead.
Okay, well, compliment to both of you, because you're both phenomenal, and he's currently phenomenal. So, if you had that skill set as you did and got the ball once, you win – but you get it once, how frustrated would you be?
It's frustrating. You put a lot of time into it, Joe. You dedicate yours, especially this time of year, you dedicate everything that you do to that moment, to that time that you're going to have those few hours on Sunday to do what you do what you plan to do what you put your heart and soul into doing. And when you don't get an opportunity to make a contribution, yes, it bothers you. And I think he's handled it really well for the most part, because that guy can dominate a game.
Yep.
But when you go back and look at the game, they paid so much attention to AJ. And sometimes that's just going to be your role. You're going to have to take two guys out of the picture so that other guys can win. Other guys will be able to eat, have big days, because they're paying so much attention to you.
Totally.
And at the end of the day, you sit down and you realize that, and you just, like I said, you get everything that you can get out of the fact that you win the game, you're moving on to the next week.
Yeah, and Mike, I'll say this, because I agree with your statement. I think for the most part, AJ's handled it really well, given how little he's gotten the ball compared to, you know, the other five or so receivers in football that he's comparable to. Like Jefferson and Chase. I mean, these guys catch 100 balls, and it's not even, you know, 100 or more. And obviously, AJ had his thing a month ago that caused a stir. But for the most part, I think he's done great. And also, I'll say, Mike, I think it's a credit to Sirianni, who, you know, when I hear him speak, I am so impressed with, and sometimes we hear the you know, when the Eagles peel the curtain back and
what Sirianni says to the players. It just sounds like he has done a masterful job of setting expectations, defining roles, defining culture.
And, who am I talking to?
Listen.
Is this the camera?
Let me tell you something. The hammer is pro Sirianni, Mr. Quick.
Yeah! Hammer!
Pro Sirianni. Oh. Pro Sirianni. So I'm just telling you. So that's where I'm at.
I just believe that he has done a really good job in communicating with these guys, making sure that everyone understands, you know, what we're doing this week. Even the coaches, making sure that everything is communicated that needs to be communicated. I think he's done a fantastic job, and I think he's just going to continue to grow and mature as a head coach in this league. And hats off to Jeffrey and Howie. I think they've done it again with that spot.
How can Kellen Moore do a better job of getting Jalen comfortable and into a rhythm? He talked about not being rhythmic after the game against the Packers. The play caller help on that front?
Yeah, and I think he's trying to help. Sometimes it's just going to be up to Jalen to pull the trigger, to do the things that that are designed to be done within the offense.
Be a little less risk adverse. Take a chance, you know, when you need to. But the point was, in this last game, he didn't really need to.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Until he throws an interception, and then we're all on his case for throwing an interception.
Sure.
Yeah, but he doesn't do that much. All right, final thing, Mike. Did Devin up her game sideline reporting for the playoffs? Did she deliver in the playoffs?
Oh, she's a boss. She knows what she's doing.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Mike. That's nice.
All right, Mike, have a great call.
She sounds surprised that you said that.
No, I mean, Joe just teed you up to drag me, so I appreciate the kind words.
You know, it's all good.
That is knocking it out of the park, it sounds
It's all good.
Great job.
Having a blast.
Merrill, Mike, and Devin on the call. Say it again, Mike.
To Joe McPeak at some point. If McPeak approves, then she's doing well. And it all comes down to Joe McPeak and his approval.
Would we know if he does not approve?
Yes, she will know.
Hey, Mike, have a great call. Obviously, on Sunday, we'll be listening. And I think we'll be talking to you next week when the Eagles are still in it. Thanks, man.
Okay, guys.
All right, there he is, Mike Quick.